When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 48 and 49 of The Shadow Rising, An Offer Refused, and Cold Rock's Hold. Enjoy! Welcome to Season 4, Episode 23, Episode 89, since we started this shindig. Really close. We're 11 away from 100. 11 wow. away. 11
that's a big
weeks.
Number.
That's a big number. That's a lot of episodes. That's a lot of hours of sitting here talking to our microphones.
And it really
at,
is.
And looking at you guys' beautiful faces.
Hopefully we can make it that far.
Yeah.
But I'll save that for personal life.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right, so let's talk about patrons, because we got three of them. Wow. Yeah, three new ones. We got Christy, Logan, and Bow Tiger, the Bow Tiger.
Woo!
So
hey.
Thank you, all three new patrons. And, of course, a big shout-out to our top-level patron, David Russell, because we have to shout him out every single episode now, because he's awesome.
Thank you, sir.
So we're going to keep shouting him out all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, and what I might try to do is I might try to just put his name, like, in the middle of episodes, like, just kind of, like, nonchalantly, like, that's kind of like David Russell. I'm like, I was like,
give me a T-shirt with his name on it, like this, and I'll just wear it.
Yeah, exactly. We have to say something. It's part of the perks. Your name in every episode. So maybe we'll just try to make
plus
it.
Plus, it's just awesome. It's
make it an Easter egg. It'll be fun.
Like a David Russell.
You got to find it in the background. There he is. I see
there
him.
He is. It's the worst Waldo of the podcast. All right.
That'd be fun though.
Yeah, and then another one. I want to do a location update because we haven't done those in a while. Like people that where the people listen to us from, and I realized like when I started doing that like over a year ago, I did it like every episode. I was doing like all like the small countries that have like one listener because it was just cool that we had like Timbuktu and listening to us. But we never give a shout out to Canada, and there are number two listeners like as far as.
We've
never given a shout out to the Blight.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we
Blight
talk
all
about
the time.
We talk about Canada all the time, but we never actually.
But just not in this segment.
Not in this segment. So I just wanted to say, and also, I mean, I guess since we're talking about it, we did finally get listeners from China, like proper. We've had Hong Kong listeners, but I guess the firewall finally came down at least long enough for someone to listen to us.
Cool. You know, you mentioned the Blight listening. I just immediately pictured a couple of Trollocs like sitting around a campfire with their like earbuds in and laughing along to the podcast.
Nerd funny.
The amount of earwax in those earbuds.
Yeah. They're constantly cleaning them like, broke again.
So.
People pay to listen to us.
I love it.
I don't understand. But yeah, thank you. Thank you for people being patrons of ours. So other things going on is we're doing giveaways. We do have a giveaway going on right now on Twitter. If you have not checked it out, by the time this episode comes out to everyone else, you will have missed it. But keep following us on all our socials because we do giveaways all the time. The next one's going to be on Instagram. So as long as they don't shut it down again and Instagram and Facebook go dark, we'll do an Instagram giveaway.
What will we ever do?
Then I'll just probably do another Twitter one if Instagram doesn't let me. So
nice.
There you go. And then no guest announcements because we don't have anybody next week. No one this week. And then JordanCon. So I did finally booked our hotels, our hotel room, just one. So I got
we
the
don't
Jordan-
get cozy.
Yeah, I got the JordanCon rate.
We got one single bed.
And we got we got two queen size bed and a pull out couch. So you know, hey, we're living large.
I
in
never
that room.
Pull out.
I'll give you shelter in my single bed.
You know, that's, I never used to pull out a couch.
That was I used to play fantasy football all the time, and one of the guys on one of our leagues, his team name was "My couch pulls out, I don't."
Got like 7 kids. And we're like, we get it, bro. We get it.
We get it. You understand, man. You got like 12 kids running around.
All he created right. his own football team.
Then he's like, no, it's funny because it's true. We're like, no Brad, it's, we get it.
We get it.
Everybody gets it. We have to help you carpool your family here. It just.
You can stop now.
Exactly.
So personal life. So I know last time on the podcast, I was talking about a lot of things like, I was going to a wedding. Well, I didn't go to a wedding. Because our sitter, I guess not really a sitter, or my mother-in-law had a COVID scare. She was exposed and she didn't feel comfortable coming to watch the kids. So my wife went to the wedding and I stayed at home and watched the kids. So that was that. And so I didn't go there, but on a cooler note, I did get a new cell phone, which is pretty awesome for free. Because apparently T-Mobile, I think it was, we were talking about this before the show. I think it really was a disgruntled worker that just hated working at T-Mobile.
She's probably getting ready to quit.
Yeah, she's probably getting ready to quit. Because like, I don't think what she gave me was right.
She went Oprah on Ellen.
Yeah, I've never like had so much free stuff given to me. Like, so I signed up for a new plan because our plan was expiring. And they're like, okay, we'll lower your monthly bill by $10 and give you and your wife both new free phones and throw in a Samsung watch, smartwatch, and give you $3,000 of store credit. And I was like,
what? Yeah. Chris, that's the face I made. I was nodding along, and then he heard that number and went, what?
I was even asking, I was like, $3,000, right? She's like, yeah, you can buy anything in the store you want. Like, I was like,
it's a T-Mobile shop. You can buy the whole store. $3,000. You're co-owner.
I can buy iPads. I can buy like speakers. I can buy all sorts of stuff. So I might go back and get some things. But I was just like, I'm pretty sure she just like clicked the buttons. Like she was so disgruntled. Like, you know what? I'll stick to this company. I use the manager specials. I'll give away all the free stuff.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
So,
do they have like little impulse buy snacks at like at the checkout, like little candy bars or something?
I wish.
You could go buy once a day with your kids. And be like, all right, kids, one candy bar.
She
and you
obviously
do that for 10 years.
She didn't even care at all. Like our kids were literally running laps around the store. They would go into the printer and turn the printer off. They went back in the employee section, the staff section, and we had to chase them back to the back room to get our kids back. And she's like, and she's on her phone like her boyfriend, like talking the entire time with the other transaction, not even caring. I was like, yeah, she don't care about her job at all.
She's like, they're only paying me $17 an hour. McDonald's is paying $20.
I don't care. Yeah, right.
Telling you it was her last day.
It probably was because she did not care. I think she just put the t-shirt on. She didn't actually even work there. Like,
you're better than me. I would have spent that $3,000 that day. They would not be recovering that.
The actual person in charge like went on a lunch break or something, and somebody else in the store was like,
fuck
it,
cousin,
I can do this.
Your cousin, can you come bail me out real fast? Like, yeah, sure, I gotcha. Here,
just smashing buttons. That's what it was. That's why they sounded surprised too. They're pushing buttons. They're like, and you get bloop, bloop, bloop. Ooh, $3,000 store credit. Yeah, cool. We'll give you that. Sure.
Literally, like we got the cell phones, and like my daughter goes, I want to watch YouTube. She goes, watch. And I was like, oh yeah, Samsung watches are cool. She goes, yeah, you can get one of those for free. Just pick one out. I'll throw it in for free. And I was like, what?
I'm about to go by this store tomorrow.
Yeah. Go see if cousin's there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, cuz
perfect.
Anyway, so that's my personal life. What's going on with you guys?
All right. I'm going to stay super positive through all of this because y'all are probably sick. Y'all probably think I'm like bipolar because I'll get on an episode and be like, oh, it's been the best week. And then I tell you about something and everybody's like, oh, that's great. And then I'll get up and I'll be like, man, it's been a really rough week. I'm having a hard time. Everybody's like, oh, man, it's a horrible story. But so I won't rehash everything, but I talked to you about like the housing thing and then thought I was going to buy and then there were issues and then we were able to buy and it was great. But then we found out they didn't use the most recent offer. They used the next recent one. They slid it in there and I guess I didn't notice whatever. So it didn't include the painting the house and redoing all the floors. So I'm doing that now. So whatever. But then I've also been in this, I say custody battle. I don't like using that term, but it feels that way. Cause I mean, I filed in the beginning of the year and we still haven't had our court date yet. Everything just keeps getting pushed back and it was looking pretty dark and gloomy. met with the guardian ad litem, and everything was very positive, and things that she said and what she wants to do, very positive, all sounds really good. And so that's coming up within the next couple of weeks. The guardian ad litem is setting up another mediation date, hoping that parties just kind of agree with her recommendation. If not, we go to court that same week. But really what the gal is offering is what I was asking for and what the kids want to do, so it's perfect. Got that phone call just a couple days ago. Super excited. And then this morning, I got a phone call around 11 o'clock, kind of like a warning order that I'm coming down on orders to go to Fort McCoy to help with the Afghanistan refugees that are being housed there. And I was like, well, how long is this? Like a month? He's like, no, this is 6 months, possible extension up to a year. So got on the phone with my first sergeant, because that's the only point of contact I have right now. I don't even have contacts for the unit that's trying to bring me in, and told her everything that was going on with court and everything. So she's going to see what she can do. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, the reserves are running that mission, and they're kind of desperate for people that are deployable. And I mean, I just kind of fit the bill in every way with my job and deployability status and everything. So unless they can find somebody my rank or higher to take my spot, I'm probably going. And how that's going to affect the whole custody thing, I don't even know. So, which I can't even do anything about that until I get orders in hand. And who knows, maybe somebody volunteers, they're like, heck yeah, I'll go on orders for 6 months, because there's some guys and girls out there, you know, that look forward to opportunities like that. So who knows, it might work out. But yeah, and then I joke about us hopefully making it to 100. I have no idea what the living situation is out there, like what the work schedule will be like, my ability to record if I go, who knows? You know, I've been in McCoy before, generally not that big a deal, but who knows with the amount of people they have there now. I don't know, a lot of question marks, and I won't know for the next couple of weeks. So it's gonna be a couple of weeks of just waiting and for that next phone call, see what happens.
With Alan's $3,000, he's going to buy you a hotspot and a tablet and a cell phone.
Fort McCoy is out in the middle of nowhere, man. I don't know if a hotspot's going to do it. You got to buy the tower, too. Yeah. Yeah. Like, if I'm in a good hard building, they'll have internet run out there. But if they're using some of the training areas, like, I haven't seen it, but I would imagine that they've stood up kind of like a tent city in some of the training areas. If that's the case and I'm staying out there with them, Nope. Unless like Tuesday nights or whenever we record, I can like sneak away and go to
signals.
Yeah, right. Find somewhere. I'll find something. Like I'm not. I'll find a way if I go.
If there's a will,
it'll be
a way.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alan might be hosting the Amazon show March drop party at my house. He might. I might hand Alan a key to the house if I'm not there. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
You'll be there.
You'll be there.
We'll see. Anyways, if you're the praying type or just the well wishes and all that jazz, you know, if I go, I go. I know what I signed up for when I joined the military, so I get it. I'm not trying to shirk those duties, but I've certainly done my time in many places.
I don't feel guilty asking
for a pass here.
We have a lot of U.S. listeners. Can everybody write to the congressman or senator about...
Say, Ian knew what he was signed up for when he got with Alan.
Yeah, they're going to be like, send him for 2 years. You know? it is what it is. It's my favorite term, right? So I'll deal with it either way. That's fine. But hoping for a little bit of grace here. Things were moving in the right direction in so many other ways.
I mean, if your knees aren't working right, you can't go, right? Yeah. I got a baseball bat.
I got some cousins.
Okay, Tanya. We get your kneecap out.
All right, Tanya.
I got some crazy sisters.
No, see, in Hampton Roads, people get mixed messages. You're like, I said just rough them up a little bit, and I'm just flat out dead on the side of the road. Like, oh, man.
In a coma.
Right. Totally.
Just take
out
the kneecaps, not hit them in the head.
Right.
Kneecaps.
Missing all my teeth.
Like, as long as
man, that ain't what I heard. I thought you said take him out. Yeah. And I said take him out to lunch. Try and talk him out of it.
By the way, we do not condone beating Ian up in any kind of way or form. Disclosure there for legal purposes.
Yeah, because we're all about that. Yeah. Did I mention the whole like not pressing charges on a student the last go around?
You did.
Okay, good. Yeah. The same child is still in school. He is not so bad. He's falling asleep in class every day. So, you know, I'm kind of letting him do
his
own.
They adjusted his medication.
Yes. I do feel bad. Like, they're adjusting medication. I do understand what that looks like because I have three siblings with different types of learning and or mental disabilities. So, like, watching the process is always hard. Especially for a child like that who... He's smart as a whip, very spoiled, but still sweet when he's in the good phase. So it's like, if we could just figure it out for him. But no, we've got funeral coming up this weekend for Chanel's great aunt who passed away. But other than that, things have been going fairly well. I don't know if I mentioned seeing Wicked not too long ago, but that was freaking awesome.
Play?
Yeah, we went and saw Wicked here in Charlotte. That was really cool.
That's a fun sing-along.
It really, yeah, like, I love it. And other than that, like, work is work. The kids are bucking on the system. The TikTok challenge, I don't know if I went over that, but it's, you know, smack a person. And so we have been doing very good jobs of watching each other's back. Like, the fact that I have to say that is laughable. But, you know, I've kind of tightened down on the kids a little bit because... I realize more and more that they're still third graders in sixth grade, like third grade mentally in the sixth grade. I'm like, these kids need a whole lot more than what we can offer them. So I'm not even going to worry about teaching them math necessarily, but how to be older children, you know?
Yeah, decent people.
Yeah, decent people.
How to interact.
Yeah. So anyway, that's
good,
it.
Good for you. Yeah. That's a good mission. Yeah. I like it.
All right, let's get into predictions. So some predictions from last week is Bella compels Gawain, that Bella is the master compeller behind the scenes. That's a prediction there. The new Forsaken we met is the most powerful one we've met yet. At least it seems that way because she's kind of like OG status with coming in, just like compelling the crap out of Nynaeve and Elaine. Yeah. Loghain is going to get his groove back. That's an old prediction, but came up again last week. So, he's going to get
his.
And then the last one is that there's multiple dragons or multiple people that all these different names mean. It's not just one person, but there's just a ton of possibilities.
Different person for every role. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I made that one up out of thin air.
We'll see if it comes true. Let's go on right into chapter 48, in Arthur Refused. Chapter symbol is Aiel spears and buckler.
I guess maidens.
We're back in the waste, guys, in Threefold Land. We start off with Avienda, with good old Avi, and she's just berating Rand about looking at this woman that's on the carts with the peddler. Because she's mighty fine, apparently. And he's, glancing over every once in a while. And
she's not fine. She's soft and weak.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Depends on whose perspective you take.
So
Chris,
we get this whole.
I like what you're dropping there.
Yeah. So that's what we start with, you know, Avienda, you know, getting upset with Rand that you should have eyes only for Elaine. You shouldn't be looking elsewhere. And we get all this stuff about Avienda, you know, walking next to Rand, occasionally will ride with him, but she doesn't like riding with him because she feels embarrassed by it. and this, you know, this whole entire, tension between Rand and Avienda.
I was literally going to use that word because there seems to be a little bit more than just, like, communication happening here. I think Rand's starting to see Avienda as more than just an Aiel woman and start to think of her as, you know, a friend.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm still getting I won't say getting the vibes, but I can't answer like where the tension comes from on Avienda's side. I don't feel like it's just sticking up for Elaine. I think maybe she has an attraction to him too.
You know, I still will ride the thought that she's got a thing for Elaine and she's looking to be a sister wife. What do they call them here? I mean, it's a thing for the Aiel. So, like, for them both to marry him or for her to share their bed, like, that just makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. And I could totally see that, too. Like, that wouldn't be a surprise either.
Yeah, and we learn more about the women roles in Aiel culture later in this chapter. So, we'll get to that I guess actually probably the next chapter is when we really get into it. But so Asandra, I think that's how you pronounce her name, the woman is sitting on the merchant's lap with an umbrella for shade as well. And Rourke comes up to talk to him. And Rand's been resisting wearing the Aiel garb because I'm trying to get him to wear the cotton sore, which is the Aiel garb. And he complains about how it is a little hot with his wool garb or whatever. But yeah, he wants no part. He's like, I am who I am, pretty much. Like, you guys got to deal with it.
I'm going to show them these sweet tats, and they're going to have to accept me. Right? Mm-hmm. That's about it.
Yep. So, anyway, any thoughts about this before we move to Rand trying to change the conversation? Because obviously he's uncomfortable.
Well, the idea of Egwene not being soft, that kind of was laughable for me. She's like, Egwene, or not wrong one, wrong E. I'm Elaine. Sorry, I do that Isandra. Too often. Elaine not being soft. Elaine's not soft. You should be only having eyes for her. Elaine is probably the softest of the group. Mind you, she's been trained in many ways. She's still a princess, quite literally. Mm-hmm. And so I really thought that was funny. And then I really wonder about, how did you pronounce her name? Asandra?
Asandra.
AKA I want to know what her role is or was or will become, because, you know, Rand kept, she's not soft. Nope. I don't think she's soft at
all. That's Lanfear.
Is it?
So
I know
he mumbled a comment at the end of one of these chapters before, when they were like, and he was like, oh man, what kind of mess am I in? Because these people are here and Lanfear, and he includes her in the list of like all the people that are playing with them and everything. And it made it sound like she was actually there with them. Well, in what capacity is she there with them? Asandra could be it.
She could be, and I agree with you. I'm not going
to. She's just waiting her time to be like, pow, pow, pshkow,
pshkow. Yeah, I mean, we know Lanfear can disguise her. She appeared as Elsie back in the tower, so we know that she can.
She's got skills like that.
She does. So I mean, I agree with you. She definitely could be one and the same.
I'm just gonna say sure.
Yeah. Ooh, that was a good sure. What do you think of that sure, Chris?
I like that sure. If you guys could see his face, it's so smug. The raised eyebrow.
That felt like a good cheer.
It felt like a good one. Now Rand changes the subject. He's like, well, I want to know more about Aiel customs. You know, starts asking questions about that. And Javi ends up talking down to him about it. He's like, well, obviously you don't understand anything about men and women. Women can't, only women can own land and homes in the Aiel culture. Men can't. You know, unlike you're a wetland woman that, you know, just bounce scraped men, blah, blah. And Rand's like, obviously you don't understand our woman either. like it's
like
very...
you're women who have to dance for food and for a place to stay. It's just
like, and I think it's even later in the chapter he mentions, like, I wish I'd introduce you to the Women's Council.
Quite interesting.
So, they're starting to scratch at the surface of actually sharing with each other, you know, their cultural differences, but just at the surface. And because there's this weird tension, animosity, whatever, from Abienda, is that her name? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not able to get past that, because every little thing that he might say or react to what she says that she doesn't like, instead of trying to explain more or differently, she just digs into him. Mm-hmm. And gives him more shit about Elaine and whatnot. And I'm not saying he's any better right now. Like, some of the thoughts inside of his head is like, does it seem like there's a strong attempt to really communicate where he's coming from? But anyways, communication.
Well,
problems.
No, I mean, even says in the book that she feels at times that she's being drawn into a trap, and these are his internal thoughts. So if you know that she feels that you're backing her into a corner, why keep doing it? Mm-hmm. It's better to have a person like that, even as a loose friend.
But do nothing, stop communicating altogether. When somebody abandons, there's some quote out there like, trying to reason with somebody who's abandoned logical thought or something like that. It's like trying to give medicine to a dead person. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, if they're just going to take it and be very defensive, no matter what you say, you're never going to get a point across to them. So wasting your time.
Yeah. True. And Rand, the entire time while Abby's talking to him, is trying to, I guess, figure out, you know, like, why does she dislike him so much? He keeps on running through scenarios in his head. And he's also learned that she never went to the glass column. So he's thinking in his head, like, well, I know more about some of the IO culture than you do because you haven't actually seen your past. And I have. Like, so he's thinking about these things. And, like, and he's also wondering why Aviana keeps on staring at him. Like, every time he looks over, she's, like, glaring at him. Like, just question mark there for you guys. Like, why is she just staring at him?
I told you. She's in love with Elaine. Elaine's in love with him, so she's in love with him.
Or she's looking at him like, I don't see what Elaine sees in him. Ugh.
Yeah.
Like, there might be that, like, that's why he discussed her some. I don't really know. Alan, great question, but I've been asking that for how many chapters now? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
And she finally does get an answer in one of these chapters, and it's a non-answer, so.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Oh, yeah, so. And then, you know, he thinks at least Avienda, you know, he knows how she feels about him, at least. She knows she hates him, so. There's that.
He knows. No, he knows. There we go. It's black and white, so nothing else to figure out, right?
Yeah.
11 days and nights.
Then he shifts his attention, his thoughts to Asandra, and starts thinking about her and about you know, Matt and all sorts of other things, and then, you know, thinks that she's dangerous. He actually does, I think, say that in his thoughts. He's like, you know, that woman's dangerous.
He does, but he never alludes to her being Lanfear in his thoughts. There was that one statement, but beyond that, there's no allusion to her being Lanfear in his mind. And you know, this entire group just seems very odd and very dangerous. I mean, nothing about them sets right with me.
The Gleeman is a creeper.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes. The driver's a creeper.
I won't go too far. We're getting there.
But the peddler woman's a creeper. They're all creepers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They remind me of the circus freaks and stuff. Like, and that's a horrible word to use, so excuse me. And I don't mean to be insensitive, but when you think of, like, what the circus used to be portrayed as, it's just like this ragtag bunch of odd oddities.
What if they do work for the circus? do you think in this world there's actually a circus?
Circus McGurkus. Yeah.
We're gonna find out in book 12 that there's actually a circus that travels around and
So to your point about him saying she's dangerous, you got to get that in context. You know, he's thinking to himself, he's like, now Avienda had started creeping into his dreams as if men and Elaine were not bad enough. Women tied his emotions in knots, and he had to be clear-headed now. Clear-headed and cold. He realized he was looking at Asandra again. She wriggled slender fingers at him past Kadir's ear. He was sure those full lips curved into a smile. Oh, yes. Dangerous. I have to be cold and hard as steel.
Poison.
Sharp steel. Good job, guys. That was perfectly
you're
timed.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. So, I mean, in my mind, that could still be Lanfear, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he shook a deal with Lanfear and he's just following her. I think Rand is still going to try and carve out his own path, and he's going to attempt to manipulate these others around him that are trying to manipulate him. So I think he already sees Lanfear as a tool, not as an enemy, but a tool to help him get what he wants.
I completely agree with you. We're going to get to the point soon. But he makes the comment about training, and I won't go any further than that. He realizes he still needs it, and he's going to find somebody that can do it for him, and she's already offered. So it's like,
he's been looking for it since the end of book one.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
Yeah. He still needs to get trained.
Yeah. So, also it mentions at this point that some lions did show up a couple of nights before, because they've been traveling for days, and killed some of the Shido's horses. And then they start going through all the list of, like, creatures in the waste that you need to be careful about, because, like, everything's trying to kill you in the waste. Like, everything's either venomous or poisonous. And it seems a lot like Australia.
That's what I was thinking. Like
when you're
in
Australia, like everything's trying to kill you in Australia. Like I remember when I spent some time in Queensland and the Northern Territory, like the outback, like they hand you a guide with like everything that can kill you, and it's like a book of like spiders and snakes and poisonous lizards and plants and freakishly large birds called cassowaries that try to disembowel you and. Everything you had to watch out. And then saltwater crocodiles and great white sharks and box jellyfish and blue ring octopi. The list goes on and on and on about
it's
every single
morbid,
animal.
But I would love to see these birds in action.
Cassowaries? Yeah, you can look really on YouTube. Bad. They actually have some YouTube videos of like them, like some guy with a shield, and it's like trying to go at them.
Yeah. If you ever doubted the theory that dinosaurs became birds, you need to watch these guys and watch them in action. You're gonna be like, that's a dinosaur with feathers. that's cool.
Yeah. And then Moraine's been coming up at some points trying to get Rand to tell her his plans. Of course, he's not telling her shit because, yeah, he's like, go away, Moraine. You can't control me. Communication is not key in this book at all.
But does she seem stressed about finding out what he's doing at this point? I feel like in previous instances where he's not sharing what he wants to do, like she started freaking out and was like stressing out about it. Since... What's the place they went to in the waste? The Roydian. Yeah, since going there, Moraine's had a little bit more of a calmness about what's going on with Rand. Like, still suspect of him, I guess, and trying to figure things out, but she just doesn't feel as worried about it.
Sure.
So, why, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's up to something.
And then she notices Egwene's been sticking with the Wise Ones, and she's not wearing her hair in those two little braids anymore. He actually asked about that. Like, I think Avian was like, you won't understand. It's wise woman business. Like, some of like woman circle business. Like, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah. As much as they want to talk about how different they are and boy, there's some similarities in the cultures, huh?
Yeah. So as they're going like through, it's just kind of going around the camp and kind of checking in with everybody. And that's kind of what this chapter feels like to me, at least. It's just kind of like a check-in, you know, like, oh, this is what Egwene's doing. This is what Moraine's doing. Matt's trying to hit on Asandra the entire time. That's his whole thing.
Pretty much.
All the IEL are becoming less standoffish towards Rand. And during the nights, in the evenings, you know, Rand's working with Lan with the sword and Rook with the spear and learning how to fight better. And kind of like a level up chapter.
That's cool.
It's kind of like a montage. Yeah. You know, I can think of like an 80s montage where it's like shifting over. It's like playing Eye of the Tiger and he's like leveling up. You know, getting...
It's always that beat.
Well, for those of y'all that played Final Fantasy 1 on Nintendo, there are certain parts where, yes, you could race through and try and go to the next boss, but you're just going to get destroyed. So you have to sit on a little island around a volcano and just walk around and around and around and fight imps until your head explodes, until you level up. And that's like what's going on here. They're just, you know, we're killing a little bit of time, but we're learning some more spear and we're developing our relationships a little bit
more. Well, and then Egwene having been recognized and having quote unquote grown must mean that she's had a little bit more control of the dreamscape.
Mm. Yep. And so this has given her more time to practice that with the people that can actually teach her, you know?
Yes.
So you're right. The leveling up sequence montage is spot on here.
And then you would hope, and this is hope, and I'll use that word very, very.
Hope is not a strategy.
That maybe Moraine is also doing a little bit of teaching and learning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's still an Aes Sedai. She's still, you know, a superior to Egwene. So you would hope that she's also giving her some Aes Sedai training on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully.
And we'll get to that in a little bit, too, because they're definitely training someone else. So we'll talk about that. Yeah, and we're not quite there yet. But I want to talk about the evenings, because like I said, he does do these train things. But then the merchant or the peddlers, they're sending different people over, kind of like, almost like a coordinated effort. So like at first it's Kadir, like the peddler. And he starts coming at the beginning and doing this really sketchy, like, do you want to trade? I got secrets to trade. Like whisper it.
I got that good.
We got secrets, knowledge. I can give you knowledge for a price. So, what do you think about Kadir and all of this knowledge talk?
I'm curious. That much is for sure. I've been curious since book one. This is when we're going to find any solid information at all, period. So, I'll start with that.
Not even halfway there, Chris. We ain't even halfway
no
there.
No idea. But I always, you know, they say the pen is mightier than the sword, which means the more information, the more knowledge you have, the more you're able to do.
I thought it was the penis mightier.
It's the penis. I'll take the penis mightier. That's the pen.
I mean, there's a lot of wonderful things you can do with that tool, but we won't go there. But, you know, to that point, they... who knows where they've been and what they've heard and what they've seen. And as sneaky and as sly as they are, I can imagine them prying a good bit of information about different lords and ladies, and maybe even knowing some things about, you know, what's going on in the wastes and, you know.
Yeah, do you think Padden Fane was a source of information as a peddler. The Argleeman Tom was a source of great information from everything he found out as a gleeman that he shared along the way. So, like, this, you're right, this group of people, I trust that they do probably have some quality information to share. I think the other question to ask is, who is their daddy and what does he do? Like, who do they work for? Because we've seen, you know, the first real Forsaken we ran into, Balzi was very direct in his approach to try and take control of Rand. And then we've seen Lanfear is like very different. She's like, hey, I'm going to just talk to him, be honest, be like, look, bro, this is what's going on. And this is what I have to offer you, you know, make a choice, make a decision. She's a little more patient with it, but trying to slowly influence him. So there's all these different Forsaken that have different approaches to how they're trying to gain power. So dependent, like if these people work for a Forsaken, that might just be part of the strategy. Like, don't be so abrasive and aggressive with them. Just slowly wear them down with suggestion and get him to ask you and make him think it's his idea, sort of thing.
He did also note that Kadir also just got a tan. Like, he didn't have a tan beforehand, and he gets tanned on this trip. Like, that was mentioned. I don't know if you guys caught that or my thoughts.
I did catch that. So it's like, where did he come from? Was he up in the Blight?
Yeah.
Isn't the Blight
cold? I mean, Rhaenyra's pretty far down south.
Doesn't mean he couldn't travel the ways. We don't know anything about this group of people. Good point. Maybe he is a friend of Lanfear. Maybe they're all under Lanfear's control and they've been traveling the dream or traveling the way.
Maybe they've just been hanging out inside their carts and now they're outside talking to everybody. I don't know. It's just, you know, it's hard to tell.
No.
So
as a light-skinned person, I can tell you, even when we're indoors, we still get a little bit of sun.
Yeah. Oh, well, and so if Lanfear's in the group, you know, she could travel the stones too. So remember, they had already been traveling through the waste for a while by the time they ran into Rand and them, if they would have crossed normally. And remember, they were like, how'd you get past and, you know, you don't have an escort? They're like, oh, I guess nobody saw us. So, and I don't know if we theorized this, but, you know, there's the ways, sure, but there's also traveling the stones.
I forgot all about the stones.
I'm sorry. But, I mean, that's how our party got there, but I didn't think of it either. But if Lanfear is with them, we know she can travel them.
Yeah.
So
okay. And what do you think about him always showing up to Rand alone at night? Like, he always goes and pulls Rand aside by himself to talk to him.
Well, that's just tactical. Knowledge.
Yeah. Okay.
You go after the head honcho. You promise him something big, and hopefully you can deliver.
Hopefully it pays off. Yeah. He kind of gives up after a couple nights, but then the Gleeman, Jason Natel, starts showing up every night to talk to him. To talk to Rand. He comes the first night, and he says he's trying to write an epic novel, or I guess not novel, but story, a sonnet, a song to sing, a story about Rand. And he wants to ask Rand questions, but he doesn't really ask Rand any questions. He just tells him that and just comes over. And what do you think about this whole thing? I mean, he starts quoting prophecies. You know, says, you know, I'd hate to be in your shoes, you know. What's going to happen to you? And he's like, what do you mean? He goes, well, you see the prophecies. His blood's going to be in the rocks of Sheol Ghul. Like,
Rand didn't have much to say about that. It doesn't seem like he's very bothered by that idea.
No.
He's got an objective in mind, and he's going to go for it. And that's just kind of the end of it.
Okay.
In regards to the Gleeman coming and trying to appeal to the idea of making Rand memorable, trying to make him into some form of an icon using, of course, what bards do, stories and songs. What he failed to realize is Rand could give two shits about that.
Yeah. Don't want the glory.
Like, he literally just wants to go back to a farm and be left alone.
And just keeps on, he answers everything the same way. He's like, I'll do what I must. He says it to Marie, he says it to everybody. He's just like, you know, I gotta do what I gotta do. And that's about it.
Yeah. So this Gleeman thing. Sorry, but the Gleeman thing, the whole buttering him up with, you know, I want to do some research, write some stories, somebody needs to tell your story sort of thing. It just felt like he was trying to butter him up and, like, quickly build a relationship. Like, hey, you could trust me sort of thing. I'm on your side. And then hits right back with the whole man, with this prophecy, man, I wouldn't want your power because that just means you could die in the end, like you were saying, Alan. So again, like very gently trying to influence and make suggestions to Rand in hopes that he'll like slowly sink in, maybe give up on his quest or something. I don't know if this is the strategy of someone smarter, greater, another Forsaken, but could be.
Well, and you know, it's funny because, you know, later on, Moraine comes back with, you know, you can only listen to them so loosely. Maybe he purposely spills his blood on the stones. Maybe he cuts his hand open and drizzles it. And,
oh, yeah.
Like, these prophecies are prophecies. What Rand does know is he's got some immediate issues that need to be handled. Mm-hmm. And he now is days away from having one of the largest, best armies, you know, known to the known world.
He thinks he's days away.
Well, yeah, you know, at this point of the book, he's days away from like the army he needs to do whatever cockamamie plan he has going on in his head, which, you know, it probably is a really good one. He probably has, for his age and maturity and, you know, all the things he's been through in life, and he's probably got a wonderful plan thought up. That he hasn't had anybody else listen to that.
Yeah.
You know when I really stopped trusting this Gleeman? When he said, Rand goes, "Which are you, Natel?" And he says, I am but a simple Gleeman. Yeah, last time we heard that bullshit, it was not a simple Gleeman. He done did a whole bunch of shit in his life. He had a whole bunch of other different plans with what was going on. Daggers in his mustaches. Come on, man. Like one of the greatest ever play, you know, Days Damar and...
Yeah.
Was shacking up with a queen and, you know, bouncing princesses so on his lap. Just a simple Gleeman. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know what? He's going to be Rand's father-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
So also, as they're traveling during the day, Rand keeps on noticing Aviana goes to talk to the wise ones. And he's being paranoid about it. He's like, they're probably, like, coaching her on how to spy on me and... all this other stuff until she just throws a giant fireball and they're like, oh, they're training her. Like that makes a whole lot more sense. Like, but yeah, so there, she's going to take her lessons every single day with the wise ones. And he says, well, that makes sense. So I guess she should go to wise one. That's train her in the power.
Yeah. And wasn't Moraine kind of in the gaggle when they were training her?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that, that kind of adds to what you were hoping. I know you're hoping more for Egwene, but I think Moraine is very much in the mix. And I think also to learn herself, she probably recognizes that these women trained outside the tower, they might do things a little different, know things different. So I see Moraine as the one to be in the mix, help, but also learn at the same time.
They're not held back by the promises made in the tower.
I don't think Moraine is either, but we'll get to that.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So... also, this also makes Rand start thinking about himself and learning the power because he realizes, you know, they're still training, but there's no one to teach him. And he needs, because when she uses the power, he tries to use it too. And it's like grasping at straws. He can't actually do it. And he starts thinking about it himself. He's like, I need to figure out how to learn myself. And
yeah,
it's highly inconvenient to have all of that power and not be able to tap into it at will.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about Nynaeve or Rand?
Rand.
Wait, what chapter are we on? Because that sounds familiar.
It does sound very familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it, at least it doesn't seem that Rand's is necessarily tied to anger. His, like, it comes at a moment of need, but it's not always when Rand needs it. I mean, it's when Rand needs it that it shows up, but sometimes when the time needs it, when the Tavirinus pulls it out of him, like the pattern needs it, it shows up. So, strange.
And then after all this, we go to Matt. He's mostly been avoiding Rand. He's been dicing with all the people and then chasing skirts. That's pretty much what he's doing. Just gambling and chasing skirts.
Summarize the entirety of his chapter.
If I told you I relate to Matt
a little bit. You have a girlfriend now, sir.
Well, clearly I'm not doing this now, but you know, now I'm turning a house into a home, you know.
There's an interaction too, where like he watches Matt try to interact with Sandra and then Kylie, the plump peddler woman comes out and tries to sell Sandra.
She's like, you got a nickel? I'll sell it to you for a nickel. Look, when I tell you, so I listened to that part because I was just in the midst of doing other things. And I literally stopped in my track. I was like, is she prostituting out this person? And does she have that power?
Well,
like,
Sandra's pissed about it.
Huh?
A bargain for you.
About...
She does, but was it about the amount or the fact that she did it? I don't know where we're at in this moment. Like, that wasn't very clear to me. But this, I want to know the story of the control of this bigger woman and her husband on this group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly a group. It's not just some people traveling together. They are an established travel group. And they definitely have a job outside of trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
They might be assassins for all we know. But.
Yeah. It's an interesting interaction. And Kylie does come up to talk to Rand a little bit about Avienda and says, like, you know, she's probably mad at you because she's a scorned woman. And, you know, and Rand's like, you obviously don't know anything. Like, that's not why she doesn't like me. And that's kind of the end of that little scene. But
I know, I agree with her. Maybe I think the scorn is in that she lost the woman she wants.
I think scorned, yes, but was she intentionally scorned by Rand? No, I think he's absolutely clueless. Obviously, by his response, he has no idea how he's wronged her, and it's probably not even something that she should hold him responsible for, but she does anyway. So there's some there's some immaturity on both sides.
We could be completely wrong about this, but I don't think we are.
Yeah, I
like your version, Chris. I like it.
Yep. So it takes 12 days total to cross the waste. They've passed some structures along the way. Avi keeps on talking to him. Rand doesn't really listen to what Avi's saying the entire time. Kind of tuning her out, just has her talking about Aiel stuff, and he's not even paying attention. And then Rourke comes out and says, "We've arrived at Cold Rock's Hold," and that ends this chapter of really nothing happening. So,
what band's playing when they got there in the Red Rocks?
At the Red Rocks, Cold Rocks.
Or Cold Rocks Amphitheater.
Yeah, the Cold Rocks Amphitheater.
Was there a band playing?
I think maybe. I don't know. Think of the band name. I don't know. Who do you think was playing?
Dave Matthews. I'd love to see Dave out there.
Someone said the Stones. The Stones were playing?
Stones, yeah. Yeah.
Dave Matthews.
Little John Mayer.
Well, yeah, there you go. Or cool. Maybe Dead & Company, since John Mayer plays for the Grateful Dead group now.
Maybe Ice Cube.
Some Dead & Company?
Yeah.
Some Ice Cube.
You know, there Cold you Stones, Ice Cube.
Little Creamery, you know, that's going on. Little Cold Stone.
The cream of Clapton.
Yeah.
I'm working on my dad jokes. I'm nowhere near that point, but I want to be as good as you guys when we get
they
there.
They just show up one day. They just You'll just up. Be inspired. You're going to be flipping pancakes in the morning, and you will drop the nastiest pun, and everyone will look at you like you're crazy, but you will laugh.
And no one else will. No.
And that's when you know you have arrived. Yeah. You might even call Alan or me and be like, guys, listen to this joke, and we'll die laughing with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'll be like, nobody laughed. You're like, I don't get it.
Yeah. It was a great joke. It was.
I'm going to use that one.
Good times. So that's how we end this chapter. So any thoughts about this chapter? I don't know if there's much to talk about. We really stretched this one out, though.
It's too bad Perrin wasn't there, because he knows how to talk to girls.
Yeah.
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 And Matt was just a loser this go around, but
yeah. At least he was trying to talk to girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so again, his attraction to Asandra?
Asandra, yeah.
Asandra? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, remember Celine and how even Loyal was like all about her, and she has this way to like lure them in. Mm-hmm. So I'm still feeling the Lanfear vibe there.
Okay.
But she's in disguise, incognito.
It's that WAP, y'all.
The wings and pizza?
Uh-huh. Wings and pizza.
It's WAP night. Dude, totally. When my wife went to the wedding, that's what I ordered for the kids. We got some chicken wings and got pizza from Domino's. Cause I was
so when
cooking.
She texts, she's like, how's your night going? Be like, we got some WAP up in here. Song playing in the background, showing the videos of the kids dancing to it. Just
that would be hilarious, I swear to you.
It's pretty funny. So my daughter likes to watch like the little clip shorts, and we try to make them like, so I on my wife's phone, we'll go to her Instagram, you know, the short video, like TikTok, they have like the little short videos, reels or whatever they call them. And my wife's phone is like super clean because my wife only like, because it goes by the algorithm. So it goes, you know, she just looks up like mom stuff. So it's like pictures of kids. My daughter likes it. She's like, oh, let me use your phone. I was like, pull up my phone. It's like cussing rap stuff. I mean, not, I don't listen to rap, but it's just like very, very crude compared to. just very more adult oriented. Yeah. You know, like some guy getting stabbed or something like that. Like
she just starts crying.
World star. It's like world star. Some guy like getting punched inside a McDonald's.
The phone tried to hurt me.
Well, you know, we're not watching Daddy's phone. Anyway,
I watched so many videos of like Darwin Award type videos of people doing absolutely stupid stuff and nearly dying. Like, if your kid looked at my phone, she'd be like, "Did that guy die?" I'd be like, "Probably. I guess probably did." And I'm entertained by it. I feel horrible.
Like, something crazy about like particle physics or something like that, because I do like deep dive, like watch all those videos. Like, so it just goes into those. My daughter's like super bored. Like, what is this? Anyway, Chapter 49, Cold Stone Creamery, Cold Rocks Hold, Red Rocks, Cold Rocks Hold. And if I yield spears and buckler again, so back at it again with the
Have you ever spears. Had Cold Rocks before? You know, you just thought you were going to get it and then.
That's the worst.
You know, you thought you'd get accepted in, but, you know, these people, they can be certain ways. Cold Rock.
Cold Rocks. But yeah, so, they get there and Rand looks around and sees nothing.
That's like, what he's talking about.
He's like, we're here.
This is exciting.
This is it. There's nothing here. So, Rourke leads them, Rand and everyone else, and they all start to go. And Rand convinces Avi to ride with them, which I thought was great. A little great scene. Gets her to hop on the horse with her, and she's super embarrassed.
The look of disdain she's going to give in the episode when she has to ride into one of her cities, you know,
on horseback.
On horseback.
Yeah.
How preposterous.
Preposterous. Scandalous. Yeah. She's not happy about it at all. So let's start here. You know, they ride this little fisher, and before we get into the actual city, what do you think about this whole, do you find it funny? Do you like it? Just keep moving on.
Yeah, I told you my initial feels about these chapters. I mean, there's good stuff, but I'm also kind of like, okay.
Let's move on.
Yeah, I don't have opinions about this. I just accept that it happened, and I'm like, all right.
Let's move on. Yep.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to recognize the ritualisms, or the ritualistic atmosphere that we have here. This is probably the most, I guess this would be the warlike clan. They have the least, maybe least written history. We don't really know because they don't have cities and stuff. So
yeah,
I would assume that by standards, they'd seem almost barbaric, but just entering the city, you've got this huge ritual that you must follow and everybody must know to do it.
They show their face and make lots of noise and and like, do stuff and.
They have a lot of rules, unspoken and spoken, and, you know, there's a lot that goes to that, the discipline to know that, and the ability to comprehend the needs and desires, and then talk about playing the game, like, any statement made by these people has a double, maybe even a triple meaning, and just the way that...
You know nothing at Gieto.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's pretty cool.
I know nothing. That's why I'm asking about it. Oh, you know nothing. I literally just said I know nothing. Please help me.
Cheetos.
I will say this about the interaction between Rand and Avienda. As much as I'm kind of bland about it, it feels like a setup by Jordan. So later when their relationship changes, which I'm assuming that it does, for better or worse, whatever, who knows which direction, but this is kind of like, you know, it's setting the status quo, it's setting the starting point, the you know.
Yeah. So one thing I did want to ask you about is when they're riding in, Cooldon gives Rand a look, and it's not a mean look, it's actually an amusing kind of a smirk. And I had a question mark next to that. Did you guys like, because he's been hating Rand, and now he's like, like,
well, so
what do you think's going on with him? Like, what do you think's going through his head? What do you think he's planning?
Well, the peddler group has been spending more time with his group, and it's not odd because they have more numbers. And if the peddler group is peddling information the way they're trying to Rand, you better believe someone like him is going to capitalize on that. So maybe it's a wink, like he knows something that Rand doesn't know.
Yeah,
That's a possibility. It could be an information piece.
I think he thought the greeting was going to go differently.
Yeah.
And that maybe that was him flashing forward. But do you think because he announces himself as if he's a clan chief that they would have to accept him as a clan chief? Or did you think he was thinking that Rand was going to F it up? Or maybe
both? I was thinking that Rand was going to F it up. Not only that, just Rand wouldn't be accepted in general. Yeah. Like if he had been turned away here, everything he had planned and everything he wanted, gone, done. One like, nope, not interested, and Rand screwed.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So they go through this small fissure and it opens up into a large canyon and there's all these terraced homes. Like I picture it kind of like almost like Pueblo homes.
That's what I pictured.
In like New Mexico where you have the, I don't know if it's the Comanche, Navajo, I think it is. I might be wrong on what tribe it is, but they have all the terraced homes in the cliff face. That's how I pictured it. And people are cheering. They're all happy they're there. And Rurok goes up first and asks for permission to enter the hold. And Leon, the roof mistress, grants him permission. And then you find out that Leon's actually his other wife. And Matt's reaction to it is hilarious.
You dog.
He's like, dude, either you're the luckiest man alive or the biggest fool in the world.
I get to like the broad. Did he just say two wives?
What? And Matt's like, I don't even want one expensive. Right now. What is this?
Do y'all sleep together at the same time? But that costs a lot of money. You know, but it must be great. But you have to wait so long.
So they enter in, and then Cooldon comes up to ask, and he asks as a clan chief to enter, and a hush falls over the whole crowd. It's like, how dare he? And there's a pause there where, like, they're not sure whether or not they'll even let him in, and then Leon then answers as in, like, yeah, we'll let you in as a beggar, and they have to explain to Rand what's going on, and, like, he's pissed. He's like, fine, yeah, sure, I'll let you in. You can enter as a beggar.
But wasn't he? He's begging to be recognized as a clan chief, so you got what you deserve.
She
sets you straight. Yep. Getting your place. You're no greater than anybody else here. Don't approach me.
Yeah. And then Rand comes up and he decides to, you know, ask as well because he figures it's the right thing to do. And he knows he's not thinking, well, he's not Aiel. Should I even do this? He's kind of second guessing himself. And then he asks the wrong way. And they kind of think it's like a deering.
Oh, he bowed. That's so cute.
That's so cute.
I don't know what that means.
But she's curtsied, so.
Yeah. He grants him permission, and Cooldon is pissed.
Look, I got bored, and I've been looking for something. Well, bored and stressed. So I've been looking for a series to watch that's, like, so stupid I don't actually have to care about it. So I started watching Farscape, and I don't know if y'all have watched it, but it is so cheesy, but good. And there's an episode where he lands on a planet, and he's the alien. They haven't ever had first contact with anybody. And he fumbles through it. And at the end, he goes to leave. And he had befriended this one woman before he leaves. He gives her a kiss. And she's like, what the hell is that? You do that in your culture? And he's like, oh, y'all don't do that? She's like, no. And it just made you think. I'm like, if you go to like a completely different culture, just some of the most basic customs would seem like so weird and strange to them. Like, why on earth are you trying to touch my hand with your hand and squeeze it? What the hell is that?
So I've actually done this before. I'll tell a little story real fast where it's definitely really tough. So when we were sailing around the world, Indonesia is made up of tons of islands, and a lot of them are remote and uncontacted. The people live on them, but like they're extremely tribal. And we were sailing along. We saw an island off the horizon. We had no idea what island it was. We ended up looking it up afterwards. I can't remember the name of it, but we ended up stopping there. Just because there's an island there, and people came out. We saw the people. We came there at nightfall. We anchored off. We said we'll go in the morning. So we said we'll watch. And they came out and dug out canoes, and they circled around us at night. And we could see them. We had night vision goggles, so we could see them in the water, like circling around us in their canoes. So like we were like really not sure whether they accept us or not. And they wore loincloths, so very tribal. And we drew straws on who would go onto the island first. Adam, another guy.
Do you want
I was
the short straw or do you want the long straw? Like,
so we had long range. We had long range walkie talkies, and the idea was that we had a sat phone, so we could call the Indonesian military because we had that number on speed dial, and call the Navy, the embassy, if something went wrong, and we had our GPS coordinates. So like the idea was like, we'll go in and they're rowing. We have a motor on our boat. We'll just turn the motor on and outrun them and call the Navy if something goes wrong. So we decided to go for it. And I wasn't on the first round that went, but Adam and his girlfriend went first, and they got to shore, and a group of people came out of the woods and greeted them on shore, and then they disappeared into the jungle, like into the island. And we're sitting there like, that was not the plan. The plan was going to make contact and then come immediately back, but they went into the village. And like, so we're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting, and like an hour goes by, and like we're literally pulling the sat phone out, like looking at the number, about to make the phone call. And Adam comes out with the entire village following him, screaming his name, Adam, Adam, as he rolls back. I was like, it comes back.
He just married the village princess. Yeah,
I was like, what happens? Like, did they make you king or something on this island? I was like, dude, you got to go check it out, man. It's awesome. They love us. Like, they've never seen a white person before, and they are infatuated with us, and they love us. Go to shore. So I went to shore next, and they took us to the chief, and he fed us. And there was a lot of pointing to communicate and, like, grunting and drawing pictures. But it ended up being really cool. There's no verbal communication because we know each other's languages. But we made it off all right, and it was just a really cool experience. But
did you kiss him goodbye?
Yeah. No, we didn't kiss him goodbye.
Did you bow when you introduced yourself?
There was a couple of things we got corrected on. So like we weren't supposed to point, which I knew that was bad in a lot of cultures, so I didn't point. But like when you call someone over, if you wave them over with your hand up, you know, like normally, it's considered offensive. You're supposed to wave them over with your hand down.
Yeah.
Like, so you flap your fingers with your hand down. I'm doing the motion on the camera. I know you guys can't see this, but you wave them over with your hand, your palm face down. It's offensive. You're like, come over here, like with your hand up, palm up. So we learned some things like that just from them giving us weird looks. And they were really nice about it, and they corrected us. There was actually one guy on the island that had taught himself English, and it was like talking to like a 5-year-old. Our 4-year-old. So apparently he had left the island when he was a kid and went to the next island over, and the Peace Corps was there, and they had left textbooks on how to learn English, and he had gotten one of the textbooks and had taught himself
from the basics.
The basics from this textbook. Wow. So he could speak. He was the one. So they got him. And when Adam was there, they didn't have him. He wasn't there yet. But by the time we got ashore, he was there as our translator. So we could communicate a little bit. That's how we found out about they'd never seen anything really like us, and we found a lot of stuff about that. That was really cool. But it was just he was really excited because he's never actually got to practice before. You know, and he was just super excited because he's like, I know how to speak English, and we're like, do you? And he's like, dog, cat, over there.
All right.
Cool.
Great success.
Great success. That's cool, though. Yeah. That's cool. But yeah, so definitely no, we didn't kiss anybody on the way out. No, that wasn't
that. Okay,
yeah.
That could have been.
I feel that every time I go in the hood, like I learned something new too. It's a new call, it's a new wave.
I've been gone long enough, I probably could not communicate there anymore. Because it changes. I mean, you know it. Every couple of months there's new words, new phrases. After a couple of years, the common language on the street is totally different.
Yeah.
I'd look like a fool down there these days.
Yeah. I mean, the coolest thing is when we left, we gave him some spare pairs of diving goggles, you know, and they didn't want to use them at all, but we gave them to him anyway. It's like they looked at him like freaked out and like tried to give them back to us. Like, no, they're yours. Like, keep them. They were really freaked out by the black magic of diving goggles.
They're like eyes of the gods.
That's cool.
We don't need them. Where are they?
Yeah.
So. Anyways, so
meanwhile, those two goggles, they start to use them, which gives them a like large advantage against their rivals on the next island over. So and because they have this advantage, they decide to attack, right? And war between the islands and Indonesia started because Alan decided to leave a couple pairs of goggles. Fighting over fishing territories and
anyway.
All right, page two.
They overfished everything. All right, so so the peddlers immediately set up shop there and start trying to sell their wares. And actually, this is where Rourke introduces Leah as a second wife. I kind of jumped the gun there. And then they Rand acts confused about some things, and they start blaming Avienda. It's like, didn't you teach him anything? And Rand tries to cover for him, but obviously this is a really awkward and bad. Like, Avienda's not appreciative at all of him trying to cover for him. Like, it's just a really awkward scene.
Yeah.
Well, again, I think she definitely thought she was done with having to be at his side all the time. Like, she made the promise to Elaine that she would, you know, stick around and watch over him. And, you know, she's going to scold him because that's her thing. But, you know, to be stuck with him 24/7, you know, that was not her desire. And so she was hoping to get out of that.
Yeah. Do such a bad job, they ask her to leave.
She's done a great job. She's doing great. Leave her alone. I like her. So.
And specifically, he asks, you know, if I must have a teacher, you know, I prefer it be her, actually. I think that's what pissed her off more than anything. If he just complimented her, you know, that probably would have ruffled her feathers some. Because like Chris said, I get the vibe she was trying to get fired. But the specifically asking for her to stay, she didn't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you ran into Avienda, and she gave you $3,000 credit.
Yeah.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
We're going to see a TikTok tomorrow of her, like, flipping out at her bosses and quitting at the end of the day. And you'll be like, I got there just in time.
Just in time. And then, you know, Rand offers, and Matt both offer gifts as well. Moraine tries to offer a gift as well, and they're like, no, you're Aes Sedai. Like, your presence is a present.
Really,
yeah. You're sweet enough,
honey.
Yeah,
because I was going to say, what was really cool is the statement, like, we used to serve you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here we know that Rark was allowed to speak to his wives very, very pointedly about what he saw in Meridian.
So is this something that's shared or something that's... So there's some things I think that are known with the Aiel culture and some things that are kept secret. So I don't know if this is something that is known throughout or not. Aes Sedai, that they used to serve.
I don't feel like it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like they want to necessarily trap their people with even a past feeling of loyalty to any one group other than themselves.
Yeah, there's got to be some stories passed along, or maybe at least just with among the women or something, you know, an oral history that was preserved. Maybe you're right, maybe Rourke spilled the beans.
Well, because if you think about it, they don't really have that history. The Aiel did not serve the Aes Sedai. The Tinker served the Aes Sedai, and the Aiel are just an off branch.
Well, they're still a common ancestor.
Yeah, a common ancestor, but still, they're not in the terms of serving. The Aiel have never served the Aes Sedai.
Well, they all know they failed the Aes Sedai.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe it goes back way further than what we read into, like all the way back to the Breaking. Because like the section where we started seeing when he was in Rhoadian wasn't it just after the Breaking? And there were some Aes Sedai that were in the Waste? And
yeah,
well, we went all the way back to the Breaking, like where they actually drilled the bore. But yes, we saw
right.
Well.
So like they might
but
be talking how they failed them
until
before
well
that.
After the Breaking, so.
Yeah. Well, they failed them with the split. Now, I mean, there's lots of... The idea was they're supposed to hold this Terran girl safe for them to come back and get it. And the Aes Sedai don't even remember that. So,
yeah.
Right, I know too much time has gone by.
Exactly. Rand flat out, at some point they sit down to eat, and Rand flat out asks Avienda what's wrong, and she's like, nothing's wrong. Let me just go ahead and teach you about the right way to do everything and the right protocol and blah, blah, blah.
You hold your spoon like this. You use your spoon to eat food with. That's not always something you have to do, but quite often we do that.
Yeah. And they describe the food and everything like that. It's a lot of description in this chapter about things like that. I mean, I'm trying to think of what food it was, but it reminded me of Middle Eastern food. But
yeah, that's what I thought too. Mm-hmm. It was something about like curry almost.
Yeah.
At least that's what I'm
picturing. And then, and then Rand thinks that maybe he should just give her a gift, maybe a bribe or something like that to win her over. Do you think that's a good idea?
No. I don't know why he's trying to impress her. Back in
I'm
my
just not
day,
even going to comment on any
MLB
of this.
MLB was a thing. Let me stop. But it always makes me wonder, like, what's the point? Avienda is not part of your plan. She's more or less a hindrance. Like, you need her to go. You want her to dislike you enough to just leave you to your own devices. Mm-hmm. Because really, she's an obstacle.
Right now, it might seem that way. But I like going back to Loyal's definition of Tavirin. Like, when we first started learning about it, what stuck in my head is that, you can control things and control people around you. but sometimes him being Tavirin, sometimes the pattern pulls him also. It's not always that he's doing the pulling and he's doing the contorting and forcing things around him. Sometimes, you know, the pattern pulls the Tavirin in a certain direction, and it affects people around him. So the pattern might recognize what Rand doesn't yet, that Avienda will be important, and is, you know, since she's so resistant of it at this point, like it's on Rand to try and bridge that gap and keep trying to mend things with her. I mean, I know I'm stretching here, but or maybe deep down he is kind of attracted to her, but he's also, you know, he gave his list of all the women that he's got all these emotions for, and he listed Avienda in there. And he's trying to be cold, but at the same time, we know Rand can't really be cold-hearted. He's,
no,
I don't know. He's torn there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At this point, Rourke tells them that they have to wait because the other clan chiefs aren't here yet. And Rand's like, what? We can't just leave now? Like, we're here. Like, I can do everything I need to do and we can leave. He's like, no, we have to wait till all the clans get here. He's like, well, how long is that going to be? He's like, oh, probably about a month. And they're like, what? Like, I have no time for that kind of crap. Like, I need to be on the move. Like, I can't stay put. They'll find me. So Rand's super nervous about it taking, and like, well, it might be faster, you know, when they left, you know, it might be 20 days.
Homeboy's running at his top speed. Yeah, he's going to make speed. It there in less than a month.
Yeah, or still on time.
Or Rand finds a way to speak to all the clan chiefs in their dreams.
That would be nice.
Oh, they discover Zoom, and they have a giant Zoom meeting.
Yeah. They say the acoustics are good from a certain point there. If he gets really loud, like really loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They might hear him.
I think so. Yeah, but Rand's definitely in a hurry. And they tell him, no, he can't leave yet, which he's not really happy about. He said it would dishonor the other clan chiefs if he just went ahead and did what he needs to do now before they got here. And you need them all. And Rand's kind of toying with this. He's like, I need to go, but you're right. I need all of them, but... So, I mean, put yourself in Rand's shoes. What do you think is the right move here? I mean, Rand's obviously being hunted. We know this.
The hunters might be in his midst right now. We still have to think of that wink from Culloden. Maybe there's an attack planned. Who knows?
I hear and understand the hesitation, and I, you know, again, this is a culture steeped in ritual and tradition. And they're proud people.
Yeah.
So you do not want to be the one to go breaking those rituals and traditions. So he just has to wait.
How many Chief of Chiefs have there been?
None.
Right. So one way or another. I'm not saying you want to go out of your way to offend too many people, but I'd like Rand's attitude of, all right, I'll do a little bit of your garb, but I'm not going to do the full costume because here's the deal. I am who I am.
Yeah,
for the first one and only Chief of Chiefs, so there's gonna be some new ritual happening. He shouldn't go overturn all the tables because then he's gonna make a ton of enemies. But he needs to start getting them in the mindset that everything you know about life is about to change.
I think he will. I think the minute he gets them all together, he's gonna be like, "Here's the stones. Here's how we travel them. Let's go."
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's gonna be a little. I think there's gonna be a little infighting, little battle.
Yeah, I mean, we got what's his face?
Culloden, the Shido.
And Rand's not doing himself any favors here because at the end, he gets up to walk away and Egwene and Avienda don't follow him. And where's he going? He's going to talk to his girl, Lanfear. He's like, Lanfear, we need another plan because they're telling me we got to wait a month.
what else can we do? Yeah, that's the end of the chapter as Moraine comes
in. Oh, no, but my favorite, War with Whom? Because he makes a statement like, we got to go to war. And the Moraine's like, wait, whoa, what? Yeah. Who are we going to war with?
She wants to know. Which side are we fighting for?
Which side are we fighting on? Who are we fighting?
And Rand refuses to answer.
Exactly. He does. But
you going to find out when you find out.
I got to remember. This woman remembers everything. Mm-hmm. And she waits for her moment to strike. And when she does, I need to be ready.
Yep.
I just thought that was my favorite.
And then he excuses himself and walks away, and that's how we end this chapter. So another, you get a lot of IEL culture in this chapter. So that's what your takeaway. It's a big world building chapters. I mean, as far as like learning more with the IEL, I know we've already learned a lot, but just more and more about their culture and how things work. It kind of pieces it together over time. And these are definitely chapters that do that.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate them for what they are. I'm literally hoping on the next page, Rand goes, talks to Lanfear, and they come up with some other wild plan. Meanwhile, before they can start their plan, what's his name? The guy that got welcomed as a beggar?
Cooladin.
Cooladin, yeah. Him and his buddies kick off some shit, so there's like fighting going on, and just I'm ready for the chaos and the buildup and the...
There's not enough room in this book. You're going to have to wait till the next.
I know, right? I'm looking at it. We're running out of pages. We're running out of pages.
We may not see Rand for the rest of this book.
Yeah, Perrin's still got to go to the Mountains of Mist.
Yeah.
When he chases after Loial, maybe that's where maybe he thinks Loial is going to fix the Waygate, but turns out like, you know, Loial knows something else and he's going to find some people that are hiding in the mountains to help their cause.
That too.
I mean, not enough. Look. There's not enough pages left for all that.
We got...
There's a glossary in there too.
Oh, man.
He's not lying either.
No, I'm not.
Just turns to the back of the book, and it's quite literally.
There's a glossary. Every book has a glossary.
I never looked at the back of the book.
Don't read the glossary. It's spoiler. It has spoilers.
As soon as he says the end, I'm like, all right, cool. Don't need to go any further.
Yep. So, thoughts about this chapter or any of the chapters? Anything we missed? Anything you guys want to talk about from these?
I think we covered the good stuff.
Yeah, covered all the highlights.
We could talk more about how it's a matriarchal society. We could talk about more, or wonder more about, you know, where Rand's mother stood before she died.
Mm.
Like, that is a question that definitely percolated in my mind for quite a while. We know she was an outsider who came in, but she got accepted and moved along pretty quickly. So, like, does she own like a lot of land, or what was her purpose and place? And does Rand have some type of hidden inheritance along with everything else that he didn't know about? Like,
well, she was a maiden, but she did marry. So
she married Chief, right?
Chief, yeah.
So, like, where does that leave Rand? Like, does he, you know, does he get to reclaim what they had? I know he had to fight somebody or do something with somebody, but...
I mean, he's taking that level up. Chief of Chiefs.
Chief of Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs almost, if he plays this right, Chief don't matter anymore. Chief of Chiefs matters.
But, I mean, if you're a Chief, you get a vote in whether or not you go with the Chief of Chief.
That's true. He's got to get over that hurdle.
Yeah.
Just know that if you don't vote for the Chief of Chiefs, Rand has the ability to destroy you and your entire clan, and then have another vote.
Oh, sorry, I was corrected. She did not marry; she just procreated. There's a difference.
Oh.
She knew him biblically.
She died a maiden. Still, she was not. She did not ever married. Okay.
Wow.
Interesting.
She wasn't a maiden. She jumped on the spear.
Maiden of the spear.
So, favorite character.
It was a spear, lowercase, italicized.
Favorite character.
Hold on, before favorite character, when somebody talks to him about watching out for Cooladin, this is in Cold Rock's Hold, Rand says, his dangers were not Aiel. Moraine to one side and Lanfear to the other. How could I have more danger than that? It was nearly enough to make him laugh. Like, it's things like that. I'm thinking Lanfear is literally there with them, and he's juggling both of these people that claim to want to be helping him.
I hear you. And I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to concede to that, even though something in me says could be stretching a little bit.
It is. It's a little stretching.
My favorite character, because of that one sentence, war with whom, Moraine definitely takes the cake. I know that's a weird choice to make, but she has been plotting on and watching and listening and waiting the entire book for Rand just to say the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is invoking war. It, like, even though you could assume that was his objective.
You want to go to war, Balake?
Side, huh?
So you want to go to war, Balake?
Blake.
Like, there's, you know, he could have decided he was going to get it all and then give it all away. Like, he could have gone mad by now. Like, there's so many different things that could have happened. But, you know, war is coming. But who is he going to start the war with?
Mm.
And is war, what is it good for?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing.
Anyway, favorite character.
My favorite character is Lanfear. because she's here and you just don't even know it. And assuming she is here, which I feel strong about it, but assuming she's here, the fact that, you know, again, for Forsaken to be able to play that role, be patient, go incognito. I mean, I know that seems to be her style, but it's still very different from how all the other Forsaken have operated, which is starting to open me up to, okay, maybe not all the Forsaken are as bad as we think. Maybe she was just a little misguided, or maybe she's actually necessary this time around to help Ran. Who knows?
Sure.
Lanfear's a good guy.
She was walking by when all the other Forsaken were getting called out. She was like nearby, and like as they're pointing out the other Forsaken, they point at her and they're like, "Witch, witch!" She's like, "I'm not a witch." And like, "She's a witch." See if she floats. And she's like, "Ah, damn it!"
But she turned me into a newt. I got better.
I got better.
So, favorite character, Chris.
I said Moraine.
Moraine. Okay.
Yeah, cool. She gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next time on the Will Reads, we'll be doing two chapters again. The two chapter titles are Traps and Revelations in Tanchico.
Traps. Chris, where's yours at?
Traps.
Traps. Oh, I got to take my shirt off to really see that nugget there.
There you go.
Ooh. Here's one. Ooh. And for the plural, there's two. Traps.
Traps. Traps.
I just hurt myself flexing, guys. Oof. Yeah. I need some Motrin now.
Work on your back. Oh, look at those.
Oh, look at that nugget. Dang.
That's just relaxed. Let me just really.
Yeah.
I mean, I should have known you had bowling balls like hanging off your neck. That's
and
impressive.
I just had a really, really, really great lat day. So
yeah, that's nice.
Mm. Yeah.
And you just take the stack and you just for reps, multiple reps.
Getting it. Mm.
Yeah.
So Traps and Revelations in Tanchico. So obviously we're going back to Tanchico in the second chapter.
And there's going to be like a seven-eyed, seven-horned goat, apparently.
Yeah, Revelations. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
All hail the Church of the East.
Like, we're so close to the end. Something really, like, amazing is going to happen in the next couple of chapters.
One, something's got to get.
Just one thing? Just one thing? Just one amazing thing's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Let the bodies hit the flow. Let the bodies hit the flow. Let the bodies
hit
the
flow. I think Nynaeve is going to find her black friends, her dark friends.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep. Yep.
I think she's going to literally stumble upon the black Aja.
Yeah.
But then again, they're so far away already.
Yeah. What do you think about the other, that there's a Forsaken too, that we think is in Tanchico?
Yeah, the fairy godmother just whipping it up down there.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's just hanging out with the Shanshan, maybe.
Yeah. So what do you think Rand's going to... So do you have any predictions about what Rand's going to do?
We're not going to find anything else in this book. We're done with Rand.
We're done with Rand. Anything Perrin's going to do in this book? Or are we just going to do all the girls the rest of the book?
I think Perrin finds a way to bridge the gap with the White Cloaks. Makes an uneasy peace there.
I agree with that.
I think Mordeth makes a move, and that becomes the real battle. It's Mordeth and who he's able to convince to follow him versus Perrin, his people, and the alliances he makes within the White Cloaks.
And that solidifies or cements that
it's all,
relationship.
It's all about the friends you make along the way, guys.
It's not the destination. It's not the destination. It's the journey.
No, but seriously, with Rand.
Also, not all that Wanderer lost. What else do we have to say?
He has an entire month to wait. He's not a very patient person.
No,
he's not. So I almost feel like he is going to buck on the system and be like, I don't mind losing two if I can have 10.
Yeah, I think he's going to find some way around waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, how we can be found? We can found at The Will Reads on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, everywhere. OnlyFans.
.com.
No, we're not an OnlyFans.
I mean, if you guys like,
if you guys
are high enough, you'd be seeing
that baby.
We might create one more tier.
You can email me at thewillreads@gmail.com.
That's how you get the special code.
Yeah, at Gmail, we can chat there, or you can just join Discord server. That's probably the best way. We actually started doing movie nights, which is kind of cool. Last weekend we did Monty Python's Holy Grail. I think in October we're going to do some spooky movies, so we might try to do some Halloween-themed things. So, movie nights.
Chanel is totally into all the Halloween movies.
Yeah, so we might do some Halloween movies. Might do one this weekend. Might want to do it next. I'm not sure. We'll see. Probably this weekend, because next weekend I'm actually out of town. And let's see. What else is there? There's our website, thewillreads.com. You can find links to the Discord there. Also find links to ways to support us. You can support us just by listening to us. The more listeners we have, the more we get sponsored occasionally. We've had several sponsorships before. They've lapsed at this point, but occasionally you might hear an ad or two in our episodes, and that's because we're sponsored at the time. Or you can support us by buying our merch. We have a merchandise store. You find links for it on our website, and we have lots of cool stuff there, and we're adding more. So go check it out. Get all the merch. Or you can just wait for us to give it away, because we do giveaways quite frequently. And also you can support us by Patreon. Patreon's probably the best way of supporting us, because that's just, we can budget better off that. Like, you buy merch, yeah, it supports us, but we have no idea, like, if how much or when it's coming in. So, whereas Patreon's a very, very steady stream of income. So cool. We can do things like pay for memberships towards our recording software that we use, our Zoom membership, or buy audiobooks for us, and lots of things that we use that money for.
It's all very helpful.
For giveaways, it is helpful. And for travel, because we are going to JordanCon and possibly other cons and other things, depending on how much we have to and the budget to do it. And how much vacation time I can actually take to do that kind of things. I convince my wife to let me go to those things. I mean, I'll go to every single one if my wife would let me. But JordanCon, definitely. We'll see what other things. Like, share us. Leave comments. We've gotten some feedback from people, some positive, some meh. we had a funny
we respond in kind.
Yeah, we had one interesting review that just called us alcoholics, which was great. Thank you for
really?
That comment.
They're not wrong. I'm trying to check myself.
Yeah. We're just a bunch of alcoholics.
I drank water tonight.
But this still goes 3 stars, so I mean,
I did that. Oh well, hey, I'll take it. Hey, look. Do we ever get up to 50?
Yeah, we're at 51.
Okay, so I owe somebody something.
Well, you owe the person. I think we already told them that the person that did the Apple reviews was going to get it, maybe.
I don't know.
Real one. Okay, so the real person that got to the 50 was the person who gave us the 3-star review. So I can reach out to them. Give us the negative
review.
We'll
do both. Yes.
Yes. All right.
Do it.
So I'll try to find them. I don't know how to find them. But I'll try to find
them.
You listened to our podcast. So if you listened to our podcast and you gave us a 3-star review and called us alcoholics, you won merch. And by the time you get this episode, or if you listen to us weekly, hopefully you still listen to us, because DM me and let me know.
We're sending you ENJ.
And I'll send you merch.
Nope, that person gets a bottle of whiskey.
that person gets a bottle of whiskey, definitely. I think you're not allowed to send whiskey over state lines, so hopefully in Virginia, okay. Otherwise.
We'll it'll be something local. We'll get something local delivered.
Yeah, we'll ship something local to you. Anyway, so that's all I got for this week. So how about you guys?
Until next time.
Peace.
Okay, bye.
I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.
Just checking if it's bow tie. I just want to say it right, because it's B-O-W. So, first time, bow tiger. Got it. Yeah.
I was about to say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, we have a new patron. So when I do the patron thing, I don't want to say bow, like take a bow versus a bow, mm-hmm. B-O-W. It's spelled the same way. The English language sucks, by the
way. Toot-a-boot.
It does.
So you never know. So, anyways.
Like ROADS.
ROADS.
What kind of word is that?
ROADS. So weird.
ROADS. Limit. Limit.
Limit, limit, speed limit. It's a good movie. Black Sheep. Was that Black? That's Black Sheep.
Is that? It's one of their movies.
It's not. It's not Tommy Boy. I think it's Black Sheep.
Yeah.
I think it might be Tommy.
One of the two.
It's one of the two. Anyways, do you want to get started? Do you want to get going?
Yeah.
Is it time? It's time.
Let's go.
Let's go early.
Do you really want me, baby? Let me know. Cause if you really like me, I suggest you tell me so. I ain't got time for silly games. That ain't even why I came. Because I may be the podcast that you like.
Is there a little jingle now?
Yeah, that's a little jingle jangle.
A little jingle jingle for us. All right, so a brief pause so I can cut all this out or move it to the end of the episode like I normally do. And I do it after the credits. It's like it goes to like the outro and then it comes back with us talking, like shooting the shit before the episode.
Perfect. It'll come right after you tell everybody, like and subscribe and review us. And then I'm like, do you really like me, baby? It's perfect.
That is perfect.
Yeah. All right. So brief pause.
Smash that like button.